Well, hello again, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this recording for our next lesson. And we will be talking about today, we're still in questions often asked, the study of letter Q. And our question for this recording is, should Christians observe Easter? Now, we had last recording, should Christians observe Christmas? And you're going to see that there's some resemblance concerning your Bible and what saith the Lord concerning Easter. Now, we're just going to go over some facts and go over what the Bible says. And that's what we want to know, is what does the Bible say? Now, first of all, I blew it again. I didn't give you the scriptures for the Christmas question, should Christians observe Christmas? So let me give you them right quick. And you probably already had to go back and labor all through the recording to get them, and I'm sorry about that. But I try to remember, but, as you can see already, I'm afflicted. So the first one is Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now, this is, should Christians observe Christmas, on our last recording. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And then Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 by itself, we use that. And then Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. And then Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 2 through 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and one other, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay, those are the verses that we looked into God's Word last week. Now, none of them said anything about Christmas, but they did give us truth concerning worshiping idols and doing things that were not pleasing to the Lord and conforming to what the world does. And we talked about all that. And I believe it was pretty easy to understand the way that the Lord explained it to us. And I hope that you've searched that out and went back over our lesson and see for yourself that, like I said, when I was growing up, we had Christmas all the time. But I didn't know anything, and until started studying it later in life, and wanting to know what the Lord said about it. If it wasn't for the Lord and His Word, I still wouldn't know anything about it, because the world sure doesn't teach what the Bible teaches. The world says Christmas is a major holiday, and they go about celebrating it. And so did I before I met the Lord. And even into a lot of my walk with the Lord and a lot of my time being in His family, I still didn't know what the Scripture said. Nobody taught me. So God the Holy Ghost, we got into it, and this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and we're not going to get all Greeky and Hebrew and everything else, because I don't know any of that stuff and don't want to. I speak it English, and so do you. So we're going to do this in the English language and from the King James Bible, and we're going to trust the Lord and trust God the Holy Ghost to teach us. He said He teaches us, and He does. And all we have to do is believe and go believing. So today we're going to talk about, should Christians observe Easter? Now, when I was growing up, we had Easter at my house, just like we had Christmas. Some of the stuff that we would do is, we would be excited. It was definitely not, it was definitely not a Christmas excitement, but it was an excitement that Easter's here, everybody, most of the time when we got up, it would be like Christmas, but it would be Easter gifts, and the gifts would be baskets. We'd get big old baskets, and they'd put that green grass in there, that fake green grass. put it in there and just jelly beans. I love jelly beans. Still love jelly beans. Jelly beans like crazy, and you know, all the eggs and boiled eggs and a lot of times we colored eggs and done things like that, and then you have your Easter egg hunt and all that stuff, and it's just all kid stuff and fun. And then a lot of times there's some chocolate rabbits, and sometimes there would be a gigantic rabbit, chocolate rabbit, you know, I mean a great big 2-footer, you know, and you're thinking, man, I'm gonna eat him up. But we had rabbits and eggs and jelly beans, and most of the time everybody'd get a new set of clothes. And we wasn't really church going people. We didn't even go to church on Christmas Sunday. I think we might have went sometime, but it was not something that was something that we did all the time. And I'm not condemning or my family. I love my family, but that's just not what we did. But if you said something about God or blasphemed the Lord or said something about the Lord's name in the house, you got slapped in the mouth. The Lord was reverenced and he was thought of. But as far as going on an Easter Sunday something, you know, it just wasn't there. We had Easter right there at the house, but we did have it. And I didn't know anything about Easter and still didn't until I got in the scriptures and started looking. And until God the Holy Ghost started teaching me about this simplicity. Easter's simple. The Bible does mention Easter. Does it mention it? Yes, it mentions it. So does that make it right? Well, depends on what the Bible says, what Easter is. Now, is it right? The question is, should Christians observe Christmas? Now, remember that as we're going down through here. We're not looking for anything to condemn anybody from the past or even making some new rules and legislate Easter. We're not trying to do that. What we're trying to do is find out what the Bible says. And then God the Holy Ghost will lead you about what you ought to do about Easter. Okay? So Easter's probably considered in the world the most solemn religious, if you will, religious observance in Christendom. There's people that never darken a doorway of a church, that feel it's necessary to attend a church on this once a year event. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, even when the Lord saved us and we're born again and we was in church, I mean, the most populated time in the church that you see any strangers in there would be during Easter. Now, it's not that prominent today since there's a falling away and we're getting into the Laodicean era. And in the end times, and the Christians are falling away and not witnessing like they should and bringing in the lost, and people just start, they could care less. But Easter. And when I was a boy, people went to church on Easter. I mean, they'd get up and all the girls would dress up all pretty and everybody'd have their special clothes on and everything looking their best and go to church. But nobody knew why. I didn't know why there was I didn't know when we got up and went in there and seen the baskets and the chocolate bunnies and seen. I didn't know why we had rabbits on Easter. I didn't know why we had eggs on Easter. Why not spaghetti and meatballs or something, you know? But why we had eggs? I didn't know why we had jelly beans. I just liked all of it. And I didn't complain about it, and I didn't care about searching it out to find out why. I always had a little question mark in my mind about how come a rabbit, and how come an egg, and how come a jelly beans, and how come, you know, this and all the new clothes, and everybody going to church on Sunday on this day, and there got to be something about it, you know. I don't know what it is, but there got to be something, because everybody's doing it. And Easter is a big, big holiday, just like we talked about Christmas. but it's more leaning toward the Christendom side or the orthodoxy of religion. And all faiths, if you will, have to do with Easter on Easter Day. The question is, does the Lord command us or mention to set aside, like Christmas that we talked about, one time each year to remember or to pay tribute to Him in some way? Does the Bible say that? Does the Lord Jesus Christ, in His time when He was teaching, or in the Old Testament anywhere, or in the New Testament anywhere, the Pauline epistles, the Gospels, the general epistles, any of the books in the Bible, any of the writers in the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost authored, is there any mention of a commandment or anything that tells us as born-again believers and Bible believers that we are to observe Easter? No, it's not there. Is the word Easter in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's mentioned one time and one time only. It's mentioned in the book of Acts, and it's mentioned in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. And this is about the time after the Lord's crucifixion and His burial and His resurrection and His ascension, that things were switching over from transitioning over from the law to grace. And everybody, all the Holy Ghost was using all the apostles and everybody to transfer, and the Apostle Paul, to transfer the truths of what Jesus did, the new covenant of grace, the gospel of the grace of God, and being born again by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and no works involved in it. It was transferring from all of that and from the Jews and everything else, since they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, transferring over to the Gentiles and transferring over to grace. That's what the book of Acts is all about. So during that time, in Acts chapter 12, which is right in about the center of the transition, somewhere in there, you got James, the Apostle James, and you got the Apostle Peter. Now, first thing I want to do is read to you where this word is in the Scriptures and what's going on. I had a preacher that taught and drilled it into me that a text without a context is a pretext. In other words, if you got a text that says something and you don't consider what's going on around that word that says something, I mean, what's the text talking about, then you got a pretext. It's a lie. So let me read this, and let's find out what's going on around this word Easter that's mentioned one time in the Scriptures by God the Holy Ghost. Here it is, chapter 12, Acts, verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Okay, the church is us, the born-again believers. This is the early, early church, right after Jesus ascended. And this is the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. And this is the very first people in the church in the body of Christ. Okay, but this Herod fellow, he was a king, and he was a Roman. And the thing about it is it says, now about that time, the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. In other words, he was giving the church some trouble, the early church some trouble, and he was wanting to vex them. And the one reason he wanted to vex them is because of verse 2. And he killed James. Now, this is James Zebedee, John's brother. Remember when the Lord got called them and they were on the ship and they left their daddy? And John and James and John, they were brothers. And he wrote the book of James. This is the James that wrote the book of James. And as a matter of fact, he wrote this book before this time right here where we're reading right here, because he got his head chopped off. So he wrote James before this time. And we'll get into all that some other time. But and he killed James. He killed him. And James was a Christian. James was an apostle. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a witness of the things of Jesus Christ and the brother of John. Not John the Baptist. This is James and John. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Now, this is Simon Peter Barjona. This is Peter. Okay. And he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now, that's important. We'll get into that in a little bit. Not real deep, but just to see what we're talking about Easter. And them were the days of unleavened bread. These are Jewish holidays. This is, you have the Passover, and then you have 7 days after the Passover. That's called the days of unleavened bread. Okay? And the Passover is called the day of unleavened bread. And the 7 days afterwards is called the days of unleavened bread. Okay, so because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions, which is four soldiers times four soldiers. He had 16 soldiers around him, of soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He's going to let him stay in prison. He put 60, arrested him, and he had just killed James, and he's seen that the Jews really enjoyed that and was pleased with it. So you got a Roman king here that he's arrests this other Christian. He's vexing the Christians, so he arrests Peter, puts him in jail, puts 16 soldiers around him, and then he's got it in his mind that he's going to bring him forth to the Jews and going to show off again and kill Peter. After Easter. Now, the Bible didn't say nothing concerning Jesus Christ with this Easter. Jesus is not mentioned in this portion of Scripture having to do with Easter. And it's talking about the Christians and talking about the church, but it's talking about them being vexed during this time. So it definitely wouldn't be a celebrating time of Easter for the church, because the church is being vexed and people are being killed. So what is this Easter? It was something that was important to Herod, because he wanted to put aside all the things as far as killing people and everything else. He just put everything on hold until after this Easter. Okay? So, and he said after Easter, he's going to bring him forth to the people. And, of course, we know that after Easter, during the time that he was going to bring him forth, the very day, the Bible says, that an angel went in there and busted Peter out of jail. And got him out of jail. And Herod ended up killing all them soldiers for not knowing where he was or where he went. But, okay, so Easter. That's the only time it's mentioned in the Scriptures. Now, the first, is the word Easter even mentioned in God's Word? Yes, it is. It's mentioned one time where we just read. Now, in Acts 12:4, why was it mentioned? And what's going on? What's the context? Well, Easter's mentioned because there is a pagan king, and Herod was pagan, a pagan king named Herod. And you say, well, how do you know he was pagan? He was killing Christians. He was a non-believer. He didn't care about Christianity and didn't believe. He was pagan. A pagan king named Herod that has been persecuting the early Christians in the early church. He's just had James arrested and killed, one of the Lord's apostles, and killed him.
And then he arrests Peter and was going to kill him. But there was a day called Easter coming up that was important to him, important to Herod. So he adjusts his schedule from doing justice to the Christians and killing them and persecuting them, vexing them and pleasing the Jews and all this stuff that was going on. He puts all this aside for this thing that's important to him of a day called Easter. And so he decides to wait until after it. Now, another question. Is there anywhere in the scripture where the Lord himself mentions a day called Easter to observe his resurrection? Now, remember, now the Christians, and remember this, when we was talking about Christmas in that last recording, we went through there and we seen what the Bible said about Christmas, that it didn't say anything. What the Lord said, what the Old Testament and the New Testament said, we found all that out. And then we found out what the pagans think of Christmas and what it is to them. And then we seen what Christians ought to think about Christmas. And we compared it to the Scripture, which had absolutely nothing to do with Christmas, but had to do with idolatry and had to do with all that sort of stuff. And that was the only place we could go, because pagan Christmas is idolatry. So the only thing that we could do was say, if you're going to observe Christmas, there's no such thing as the word Christmas or a celebration called Christmas in the Scriptures. If you want to celebrate the Lord's birth, yes, the Lord was born and it is recorded in the Scriptures, but nowhere does it command us to celebrate it. Or is there a day set aside for that? But if you want to, nothing wrong with that. As long as it gives the Lord glory and it does not intertwine with pagan celebration. So it was very understandable and pretty plain to us, wasn't it? Well, Easter's going to fall similar to what happened to us in that Christmas thing there. Easter's mentioned one time, which Christmas was not. Okay, and is there anywhere in the Scripture where the Lord, now even though it's mentioned one time, is there anywhere in Scripture that the Lord himself mentions a special day called Easter to observe his resurrection? Seems like if this is such a big holiday that even the unbelievers would attend church on it, and it's supposed to be the biggest religious holiday going on, why wouldn't the Lord bring it up? He didn't. The Lord never talked about it. He never talked about a word called Easter at all. He never taught about it. In the Old Testament, the prophets never prophesied anything about Easter concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and to observe him in any manner. In the New Testament, the apostles and the writers of our Bible, they never brought it up, with exception of this one time in Acts where it's mentioned. And it's not talking about a celebration for Christians. The Christians were being killed and vexed and persecuted. Okay? So, don't you think that if it was something that the Lord intended for Christians to observe, then he would have mentioned it or commanded it or just brought it up anyway? Well, it's not. It's not in the Scriptures. You're not going to find it anywhere. Now, in all your other versions, and I'm not going to get into this very deep, but in all your other versions, a lot of your other versions other than the King James Bible, they change it to Passover. And they call that Easter, that word Easter, Passover. And they say that was the celebration of Passover. But that's not true. And it's a lie. The Easter is written in there because God the Holy Ghost wanted that word Easter in there specifically because of what it represents. It does not represent Passover. The Bible says very plainly right there in verse 3, and we're reading what the Bible says, not what we think or presume it ought to say. It says, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." And then in parentheses it says, "Then were the days of unleavened bread," which were Jewish holidays. That seven-day period that I told you about that were called the 7 days of unleavened bread. Okay, these were Jewish holidays, okay. But this was not the Passover. Now, the Passover the Passover is involved in the 7 days of unleavened bread, but he just got through telling us in the scripture that he was doing all these things. Herod was arresting and killing James and getting Peter during the days of unleavened bread. It said, "Then were the days," plural, "of unleavened bread." Well, Passover is not called the days of unleavened bread. Passover is called the day of unleavened bread. And Passover is before the days, plural, of unleavened bread. So Passover was over with by this time, see. They had already celebrated that. Now they were in the 7 days, plural, of unleavened bread. And this is what the Bible tells us very plainly, that this was the time and when all this was going on. The Bible's so clear and so perfect, if you just read it and believe it. But it says it's during that time. So it's not Passover. It's Easter. Now, what is Easter? Well, it was definitely not a celebration for the Christians, because they were being killed. Would you celebrate something that was killing your brothers and sisters and believers in Christ? Would that be a celebration to you? They just killed James. Would you be celebrating that? And they just arrested Peter. And it says the church all got together. The church, all of them, the early church was getting together. It says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I mean, they got together and started praying for him because they knew that Herod was fixing to do something to Peter that he'd done to John, or to James, excuse me. So it was not Passover. It was a day called Easter. Now, Easter here occurred during the days, like we was talking about, plural, of unleavened bread. Now, it was not the day, singular, of unleavened bread, which was the Passover. It was the 7 days of the feast of unleavened bread, which followed the Passover. So it's not Passover. Passover was over and done with by verse 3, where it mentions Easter. Now, Easter, in this verse, is a pagan feast named after Ashtaroth. Now, we talked about some of these goddesses and fertility goddesses and all these other idols and all these gods that the pagans had when we was talking about Christmas. This was one of them, Ashtaroth. Okay. And she's also known as Astarte. Remember we mentioned that, and Ishtar. And then she had a name also, Estre, Eostre. I can't, but pretty close to Easter, Estre. Okay, and it was a feast observed by Herod, who was a Roman Edomian. He was an Edomite. Okay, and he worshipped these pagan gods and observed them. We talked about that during the Christmas. He was intending to execute Peter after the observance of his own religious festival, because obviously the Romans had no problem with executing criminals, the criminals of the Jew on the Jewish holidays, because they killed Jesus on Passover. They didn't care about killing whether respecting any Jewish holiday if he was going to kill somebody. But he thought it was necessary to wait until after this day called Easter that was important to him to take up business with the Jews, and whether he was going to kill somebody or not and bring them out there and fool around with the Jews. He thought his holiday, Easter, was more important than messing with the Jews at that time. So that's what he did. It's a pagan holiday. Now, in the Bible, there are ordinances. What are they? Do you remember? And when you say ordinances, what are you talking about? Well, just think of orders. Ordinances. They're orders. They are instructions from the Lord for us. Now, what are they? Well, was one of them Easter and to observe Easter? Or was one of them his resurrection? Now, don't y'all go running around telling everybody that Brother Thurman is blaspheming and a heretic about the resurrection, because I'm not. I do respect the Lord's resurrection, but what does the Bible say? Did the Lord say anything in the Scriptures about us observing His resurrection and putting aside a day concerning His resurrection? Does it say that? No, it does not. Nowhere. The Lord never brought it up. He taught the apostles and told them, whether they understood or not, prior to his death, that he was going to resurrect 3 days later. And when he was on the cross and all the way up to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he mentioned and prayed about his death and his resurrection and talked about it. And then after his death, he was buried for 3 days and three nights, 3 nights and 3 days, and then resurrected. And when he resurrected, he went and met, like he said he would, and reminded them of his words and what he said he would do, that he was going to die, he was going to be buried, and he was going to resurrect in 3 days. And reminded them of his words, and then started teaching them and moving them into the new covenant and the new truth that the Lord had just provided through his blood and through his death, which is the gospel of the grace of God by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did the Lord Jesus Christ pull anybody aside or have a meeting and instruct people to remember his resurrection as an ordinance? And for people all over, Christians all over Christianity, to come together on that day, wherever you are geographically, come together to observe his resurrection? No, he did not. Is it wrong to observe the Lord's resurrection? Absolutely not. Why would it be? You want to observe the Lord's resurrection? Observe it. But the Lord is ascended. He's not resurrected. The resurrection happened one time, and he defeated death. One time. Now things are different. He's been glorified, and he is ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father, and it's business on now. When the Lord comes back, he's not going to be talking about no resurrection. That's over with. It's done. But is it wrong to observe the Lord's resurrection? Just like we talked about in Christmas, is it wrong to observe the Lord's birth? No. Why would it be? But we're talking about a substantial amount of people coming together in the name of Easter. Now, is that something that a Christian needs to be involved in? Well, considering that Easter is a pagan holiday, and it's not mentioned in the scriptures at all. You can't find it when it comes to Christians, and the only time that it is mentioned is definitely not for the Christians. It's against the Christians. The only thing that kept Peter from getting killed when he arrested him was their pagan holiday that was important to them. If it had been a Christian holiday or a Jewish holiday, Peter had been dead, because he wouldn't have cared what they thought about killing a Jew. So it was a pagan holiday that he respected, Herod did, because he was a pagan and he wanted to celebrate it. So the Lord does not mention it. Now, we talked about what are the ordinances. Do you remember? Well, the Bible tells us to observe baptism as a symbolic observance of what has already saved a person: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the new convert. That he's died with the Lord, buried with the Lord, and resurrected to walk in newness of life. Okay? The Lord said to recognize that and to use that symbolically of what the believer has already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, been born again. He's baptized symbolically, showing what saved him. It's not part of his salvation at all. It's a symbolic thing that the Lord commanded so that it can symbolically be put forth visually in front of everybody of what this person believed in and put his faith in. Okay? The second thing is, and the only other thing is the Lord's Supper. He did that the night in the upper room with the apostles and instituted that to remember what? What are we to remember? The baptism is to remember the death, burial, and resurrection, the payment for what had already saved this person being baptized and what they believed in. Okay, and the Lord's Supper is representing what? What is it supposed to symbolize? It's supposed to symbolize, well, the cup, which is the grape juice, not liquor like the old liquor-head Catholic Pope, and all the transubstantiation, liquor-drinking garbage that goes on there had nothing to do with that. It's grape juice, which is called the cup in the scriptures, which represents what? Shed blood. The Lord said so right out of his mouth in the Gospels. And then there was the bread. And what did it represent or symbolize? His broken body. And he said, when you come together, he didn't say when to come together. He didn't say three times in a month. He didn't say four times in a year. He didn't say on such and such date every other year. He didn't say that. He just said, when you come together to do this, which is completely symbolic and completely an ordinance. It's an order for the Christians to come together and do this. It's to observe the Lord by symbolically together partaking of the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. We remember his shed blood. And then also the bread, which represents his broken body. And them two together represent what? His death. He said, come together for the Lord's Supper. Remember the fruit of the vine. Partake of the fruit of the vine. When you partake of this, he said, remember my shed blood. He said, when you partake of the bread, remember my broken body. And when you remember the blood and you remember the broken body, he said, remember my death. And that's it. Those are the only two things that the Lord brought up, mentioned, and he never talked about it again. He ordered it, and that's it. But when it comes to Easter, not a mention of it, not a breath. When it comes to his resurrection, not a breath. He doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't order us to do anything about his resurrection. Do you think we ought to remember it? Yes! Is there anything wrong with coming together and remembering it? No! But does it represent Easter, the resurrection? No, it does not. Nowhere in the Scripture does the Bible say Easter represents the resurrection. Now, from what I understand, Christians put that in place to show that Easter was not a Christian holiday. And they done it for the right reasons. But does the Bible say that we're supposed to observe the resurrection in that way? No, it does not. But anything wrong with it? No, there's not. So, even the pagans, just like on Christmas, just like I was showing you on Christmas, whenever you transfer from under, okay, the Bible does not mention it. It doesn't say anything to Christians or born-again believers, Bible believers, about observing Easter. It doesn't say, just like Christmas. Okay, but it does mention it. Okay, but when it mentions it in a pagan context. Okay, and when it mentions it in the pagans aren't ashamed of Easter at all. Because we started off in the Scriptures teaching us that Herod loved it. He put aside all his business for it. Now, I looked up one thing having to do with the... I seen a little article that when I told you I got that pagan stuff off of a pagan... When the pagans were... Explaining to pagans what Christmas, the definition of Christmas was, and we read that. Well, I got a little bit here for the Easter thing, and it's entitled Silly Christian. What it is, they're mocking Christians for observing Easter because they say, silly Christian, you don't even know that Easter is pagan? And here's what they say. Silly Christian, Christmas was the winter solstice. Easter was Ostara, the spring equinox. Halloween was Samhain. Valentine's Day was Emboic. May Day was Beltane. Tuesday was Tyres. Day. Wednesday was Woden's Day or Odin's Day. Thursday was Thor's Day. Friday was Freya's Day. Saturday was Saturn's Day. Sunday was the Sun's Day. And Monday was the Moon's Day. Your calendar is pagan. This is the pagan article that's mocking Christians for observing all these holidays in any kind of Christian manner. Because they're not Christian. That's coming from a pagan. So, are you getting the gist of this? The thing about it is there is no gist of it. There is no Easter for Christians. No such thing. Anything wrong with eating eggs? Anything wrong with eating jelly beans? Come on. The Lord said that we're free. We're not under the law. But he said not to use our liberty for the wrong reasons. And definitely don't be involved in anything pagan or idolatrous or idolatry. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says the first day of the week in John 20, verse 1, said the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Now Jesus rose from the dead on what? The first day of the week. Okay. Now Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, the local churches began meeting on the first day of the week, right? It didn't say nothing about Easter. It said first day of the week. It said that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. It said that the local churches began meeting on the first day of the week. So Christians are really honoring the Lord's resurrection by gathering on the first day of the week as instructed. Now, Christians remember the Lord as commanded when we meet to observe the what? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." There's your commandment right there. For eating the bread and partaking of it in remembrance symbolically of his broken body. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup," not the cup itself like the Roman Catholics say, but the ingredients, the stuff that was in it, the fruit of the vine. "This cup is the New Testament," the New Testament that Jesus just got through or was just fixing to start or just fixing to pay for. "The New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." He didn't say when to do it. He didn't say no schedule. He just said, remember to do it. And do it in remembrance of me. Remembrance is nothing supernatural happening. It's symbolic. It's in remembrance, okay, of something that's already taken place. So the Lord commanded that. Okay. Now, Christians remember the Lord when we witness in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that likewise as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Christians remember the Lord when we witness of him and when we walk in newness of life. You see, there's a lot of things in the scriptures that teach us to remember. But they teach us. They don't command us. There's only two commands in the scriptures that Jesus gave himself personally as a command to us that we are to do and to keep. And if you've been baptized after you were born again, you fulfilled one of those commands. And if you're participating in the Lord's Supper, which the Lord commands that you are to participate in, and you're to participate in it properly and right and not in the wrong way, which is possible, then you're obeying the Lord. But other than that, observing the Lord's birth and observing the Lord's resurrection is not mentioned. Anything wrong with it? No, but it's not commanded. Okay, that's what we're getting about. That's what we're talking about, because we're talking about Easter. And it's you say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that all of the United States, the population does this. But just like Christmas, it's commercialized and it's huge. Man, the world goes out of its way on Easter, this religious holiday, because for some strange reason, people find that day special, so they spend a lot of money on it. But is it Christian? No, it is not. It's pagan. Now, should you go throw your chocolate rabbits in the garbage can? No, eat them.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." Where'd the name Easter come from? Well, here's a little bit of... I mentioned some of it a while ago, but let me read this to you. Easter most likely takes its name from the names of goddesses associated with spring, vernal, equinox, and renewal. That Easter, the name of that goddess, E-O-S-T-R-E, sounds like Easter, was the Saxon mother goddess, the source of all things, and the bringer of new life. Now watch how the devil runs this stuff just like the resurrection and runs it. Listen to this. Around the same time, Teutonic tribes worshiped the dawn goddess Ostara, who also represented fertility and rebirth. Isn't that interesting? Other pagan cults and deities played a part in the formation of Easter, too. Around 200 B.C., the mystery cult of the goddess Sibyl was popular in Rome and its surrounding areas. Here's the Romans. Sibyl, another goddess of renewal and spring, had a lover named Attis, who was born of a virgin and died and was reborn every spring. The legend of Attis' birth, also associated with other deities including Dionysus, Tammuz, and Osiris. Well, look at them names. They was up there with Christmas, wasn't they? And some believe with the life and death of Jesus Christ. But that's not so. The Lord told us not. The Lord would never tell us to mix anything having to do with Him or His Son with idolatry and pagan gods. Never. As Christianity rose to prominence alongside those pagan beliefs, elements of the celebrations of Easter and Ostara and Attis and other deities became inextricably intertwined with the Christian narrative of Jesus' death and resurrection. The devil always does that. Anything that's the truth about the scriptures, the devil will take something and run it parallel with it and then mix it up and mix it up and mix it up where nobody knows what right and wrong is, light and darkness, bitter or sweet. It's all mixed up. But you can look it up yourself and see the facts about what Easter is, and you're not going to see anything, or you're going to see the pagan part of it for sure, and they're not ashamed of that, and they should be, but they're not. Okay, and the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, as to the Lord, and not unto men." You don't do things just because the majority does it. You obey the scriptures. What does the Bible say? And that's why we're doing these ABCs of Christian growth, so we can find out. Does the Bible say anything about it? Am I commanded to celebrate this Easter? I mean, if you had to answer the question, "Hey, Easter's tomorrow. Are you going to celebrate it?" Yeah. But then you think about it and you say, "Well, what am I celebrating? Am I celebrating Easter or Ostara or Attis or one of these deities, these pagan deities?" "Oh, of course not, Brother TV. I'd never do that." Then what are you celebrating? Are you commanded by the Lord to celebrate? That's important, isn't it? If the Lord didn't command it,
and never brought it up in the scriptures concerning his interest in it. The Lord never brought it up. He wasn't interested in it. As a matter of fact, that's why they killed him, because he uncovered all their idolatry and he uncovered their sin. And they killed him because of it, because he told the truth. So, the question is, that we're studying today, is should Christians observe Easter? I think the answer would be no. You should not observe Easter, because Easter is pagan. Easter, if you observe Easter the way Easter is observed in society and the way that the world observes it, you will be an idolater. And the Lord tells us not to be that. We worship one God, the true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we worship. And we understand him through his word and through the teaching of God the Holy Ghost, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. That's what it says. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So, should Christians observe Easter? The answer is no, because of what it represents and because of what it stands for. And the Bible does teach that. Anything that the Bible says about Easter has to do with the pagan side of Easter. There is no Christian side of Easter. It doesn't exist. It's not talked about. The Lord didn't talk about it. None of the Old Testament prophets talked about it. Moses didn't talk about it. Abraham didn't talk about it. The New Testament didn't talk about it. It's never brought up but one time, and that's by a pagan king. And that's to kill a Christian. So, can you observe the resurrection? Absolutely. Why not? So there we go. To him to knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, what? Sin. So now we know the ABCs of Christian growth. Should Christians observe Easter? No, we should not. Anything wrong with eating chocolate rabbits? Well, wait until after Easter and go buy them on the sale rack and stockpile them. I mean, you're not. You can eat and the eggs. Eggs be on sale after that. Everybody loves eggs, but we don't love them because of what they represent in the pagan realm of fertility and all that kind of garbage. No, we do not. We're Christian. We worship the one and true God. Does that make sense? Sure it does. Okay, well, we're going to stop there, and I'm going to give you the scriptures for this. How about that? Here they are. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. John chapter 20, verse 1. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Now, the place in your Bible where it mentions that one place called Easter is found in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Okay? That's where you can find it. And I pray that you'll take these, and I know that you are. You're here studying, and you're honoring the Lord's word and honoring him. And, you know, the Lord's going to bless you for finding these things out from his word and believing them, because he says so. That's why we believe what God says, because it says it in his word. And it makes sense. And I have peace with it. Do you? I ain't got no problem with Easter. I know what the Bible says about it. And I know what the Bible does not say about it. So, the next thing we're going to talk about is how can I know God's particular will for my life? And we will get into that on the very next recording, if the Lord will. And thank you for studying with us. And this is the ABCs of Christian Growth and Brother Thurman. And I really enjoy this, and I'm thankful that you honor my Lord. And you're my brothers and sisters, and we got so much to look forward to. We're going to be together for eternity. We have hope. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.